May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sun Yujaleba, Adaya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny J.B. I'm Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yujaleba now in the sanctuary. I'd like to go to our first speaker, Sonny Yujaleba, Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is We Need Salt. We need salt to keep our bodies healthy. Positive Law 62 says, all offerings must be salted. Leviticus 2 and verse 13. Please turn to Leviticus 2 and verse 13, found on page 82. It says, every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of Yahweh to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Not just on grain offering, but on everything. Our bodies need salt to stay healthy. We need a healthy amount of salt every day. In the third book of Israel, chapter 18 and verse 41, on page 146, it says, well, you know it works because you believe it, because you believe the scriptures. Like with salt, when Yahweh says salt is right, salt is healthy for you, you believe it because it's in the scriptures. Now they are finding out that salt is one of the healthiest things that you can put on or in your body. If you have a sore on your body that the doctors tell you it is cancer, try putting salt on it. You will be surprised how quickly it disappears. If we salt all of our food, Yahweh bless me and you. Please turn to Matithiah 5 verse 13, found on page 731. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer fit for anything except to be cast out and trampled under the feet of men. We are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. If we keep this law, Yahweh will sprinkle us into the next planet to teach the universe. Do you want to go help teach the universe and have eternal life? Yes. But all those who break this law will be dead forever, and we will sprinkle the world with righteousness forever. For my final scripture, please turn to Yochanan Mark 9:50, found on page 770. And it says, salt is healthy in form and nature, but if the salt loses its saltiness, with what will you season it? Have salt in yourself and be at peace one with another. And now I'd like to turn it over to the Son of Yujaleba for prayer.
Son of Yujaleba, Deacon Yeshrin Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May peace and I be with you tonight, love you. You may be seated. Today, my title will be Yahshua's Memorial, the Feast Days, and the Sabbaths. One of the very first things Yahweh taught the children of Israel when he brought them out of bondage in Egypt was to obey his every word. Part of Yahweh's every word Part of Yahweh's every word is his word about his ordinances of his holy convocations, his feast days, Sabbaths, and his weekly Sabbath day. Yahweh made his people through his instrument, Moshe, to know his ordinances, laws, and judgments. Please turn over to Exodus 18, verse 20, on page 60. And it says, "And you shall teach them the ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way in which they must walk, and the work that they must do. These ordinances must be obeyed and followed, or the feasts they pertain to will not be acceptable in Yahweh's sight." This fact is made perfectly clear in Leviticus 18, verse 34, verse 3 through 4. So if you can turn over to Leviticus 18, verse 3 through 4. And it says, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe and do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am Yahweh." This year, just as they did last year, thousands of people will blindly follow the false religious leaders of the churches and assemblies. As they call their so-called Passover, these leaders have set themselves as called ministers. But they do not know, nor do they understand. The every word that proceeds from Yahweh's mouth. They are not the pillar and ground of Yahweh's truth, as established in 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. So if we can turn over to 1 Timothy 3 verse 15 on page 934. And it says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know the right and proper way to conduct yourself in the house of Yahweh, who are the called out ones of the living Father, the pillar and ground of the truth." The world's religious leaders in teaching Yahweh's every word, including Yahweh's word, concerning Yahweh's ordinances of his feast, as we see in Leviticus chapter 23. When the deceived leaders of the churches and assemblies make their followers transgress Yahweh's ordinances, they are only serving to lead the people further from Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. So, in conclusion, just as Yahweh made his people to know his ordinances through his instrument, Moshe, Yahweh is making us in these last days to know his ordinances through his instrument, Yeshua Hawkins. So let's obey Yahweh's every word. And if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to Son of Yeshua Abel, Great Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'll be speaking on sweeping your house and getting ready for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we know that it's coming up really quickly, as the speaker before me just talked about. Now, to start off, in getting ready for the feast, we have steps to get our prayers answered. Okay, now those steps, if you look in the Why Aren't Your Prayers Answered Today book, it starts with repentance. Repentance is being sorry for ever breaking Yahweh's laws. Okay, the second step is confession, agreeing that Yahweh is right and coming out of the world and becoming lawful. Now, please turn to Hebrews 8. Found on page 947, Hebrews 8,
And if you look at verse 10, it says, "For this covenant is the same covenant that I will renew with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." Okay, there you see Yahweh will put his law in our hearts and minds. I will be their father and they will be my people. Okay, now this is Yahweh's covenant that he's making with us. He will put his law in our hearts. Now the third step is baptism. Baptism is to promise to keep all of Yahweh's laws and never willingly break them. If you look to Hebrews 10, just a page over, page 949, Hebrews 10, verse 27. Hebrews 10, 27, it says, or actually let's start at verse 26. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Okay, that's if we sin willfully. If we break Yahweh's laws willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. Now, if you remember who the sacrifice was, the sacrifice was Yahshua. Okay, now, what do we have if we sin willfully? Well, let's look at verse 27. "But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." Okay, now this is what we get if we sin willfully. We expect our judgment. Okay, now the last step is conversion, to change from your own way to keep Yahweh's way and convert to keeping the laws of Yahweh. Okay, that's the last step in getting your prayers answered, conversion. Now, in getting ready for the feast, we have to get rid of the leavening. Get rid of leavening out of our houses. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, and if you look at verse 6, you see the subtitle is "A Little Leaven Leavens the Whole. Keep Yahweh's Feast, Yahshua Our Passover." A little leaven leavens the whole. Now if you look at verse 6, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, found on page 890, it says, "Your arrogant pride is not righteous." Okay, it's not righteous. "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough?" Okay, now when you think of that, you can think of when you're baking something or making bread or baking a cake, and you put just a little leaven and it makes your cake or bread rise. Now, also think of sin or pride or disrespect. If you turn to Exodus 25, verse 2, Exodus 23, found on page 63, Exodus 23, verse 2, it says, "Do not follow the crowd in doing evil." Okay, and when you follow the crowd in doing evil, you become evil as well. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, found on page 898, 1 Corinthians 15, and if you look at verse 33, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts righteous character." Okay, bad company corrupts righteous character, because bad company spreads through the body. Okay, now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5, a few pages over, 1 Corinthians 5. And let's go to verse 7. It says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven." Okay, get that pride out of our lives, "that you may be a new batch, since you are unleavened. For truly, Yahshua, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Then verse 8 says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, this word leaven, in verse 8, the word leaven in the Greek dictionary of the New Testament, Strong's, it's number 219. See right here, 219, and it says, this word is leaven, sourdough, in high state of fermentation, and was used in making bread. Okay, then it says, leaven paints the picture of being bread of corruption, coming from precious evil and spreading through the mass of that which is mixed, and therefore symbolizing the this phrase here, character of the pervasive character of evil. Okay, and then you can see the few scriptures that it's used in. But as it's saying here, it's metaphorically saying that evil spreads just like leaven does. Okay? Now, in the first book of Israel, making the connection with Yahweh, chapter 28, it's kind of hard to find in here, but I have it printed out. First book of Israel, chapter 28, verse 20 to 48, pastor starts off, he's reading from 1 Corinthians 5. It says, therefore, purge out the old leavening. We know this is speaking of sin, but what does sin cause? Sin causes curses. In the first five books of the book of Yahweh, we see there the laws that Yahweh gave us. But it also represents the curse that we bring on ourselves from sin. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leavening. Remember what he's talking about is purging yourself from sin. Don't bring this to the feast this time. Try to cleanse before you get here. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with these old sins in our bodies, neither with the leaven of malice, that is grudges or hatred. When you start cleansing yourself, you're going to notice this stuff start coming out of you in leaps and bounds. If you cleanse yourself, as he said, then you will be able to receive these powers then. Okay, now, when you start cleansing yourself, you'll see these things coming out. And Pastor goes on saying that you'll want to stay by yourself a little bit because you'll tend to get angry because it's pushing these things out. Okay, now, we need to cleanse before the feast and try to get our leavening, the leavening, pride, and sin out of our lives. If you all please stand, may Yahweh bless your understanding. I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, the great Khan David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's an honor and a privilege to address the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you this morning about Revelation 13, where it talks about the beast from the earth. And many of us in recent weeks have reread chapter 9 of the Mark of the Beast book. And chapter 9 talks about the destruction of New York City. So the title of the sermon today is Count the Number of the Beast, for it is the number of a man. And I cross out the A there, because I believe it's talking about the number of men rather than a specific man. It's not talking about a specific man. It's talking about the number of men. And his number is 666. And this is speaking of the beast from the earth. This is Revelation 13:18. And this is, I believe, a prophecy of doom, which our great high priest Yeshua spoke against the beast from the earth. So if you turn to Revelation chapter 13 and look at verse 11, and in the book of Yahweh, this section is titled, The Beast from the Earth, not the beast from the sea, but the beast from the earth, whose number is 666. So in Revelation 13, verse 11, And some of the notes I have in with the scriptures here, these are notes from the book of Yahweh. I'm not going to read all these notes. You can read them on your own. They're the side notes in this chapter of the book of Yahweh. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns, or two religions, the Catholic religion and the Protestant religion. Like a lamb, it had these religions, but he spoke like a dragon, spoke like a war machine. Verse 12, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast before him. He's speaking about the Catholic Church here, the beast from the sea. And he caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. In other words, the beast from the earth supported with his policies the beast from the sea, which is follow the Catholic Church here, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13, and he, the beast from the earth, does great wonders so that he makes fire, this is speaking of nuclear bombs, come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This was clearly done in 1945 when the two Japanese cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, were bombed, one atomic bomb over each city, by the United States, who had war with Japan. And this effectively ended World War II in the Pacific. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by these acts of power, the great military power that the United States possesses, which he had authority to do in the sight of the beast from the sea, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make a likeness or should be like or should follow the policies of the Catholic Church, which was the organization that had the deadly wound, that wound was healed and it became a very strong organization as it is today, which had the deadly wound, wounded by the sword, but it did live or it did recover. And verse 15, and he had power, this is the beast from the earth, had power to give life, to breathe, power to perform to the likeness of the beast, in other words, supporting the Catholic Church with its policies, that the likeness of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, the likeness of the beast, should be killed. And in the book of Yahweh, it talks about this persecution started in 1990, events like Ruby Ridge in Idaho, and the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas, two examples where the government came against groups who were neither Catholic nor Protestant, and they were not in. So they brought persecution against these groups and would have done so for the house of Yahweh, also had Yahweh not protected us. And also Malachi Martin said, all Jews and Sabbath keepers and Muslims, anyone who is not Christian will suffer. And these statements were made in 1990 in a televised interview. So you can see the policy of the United States against Muslim countries today. You can see what's been going on for the last 15, 17, 18 years have definitely fulfilled this prophecy also. In verse 16 of Revelation 13, and he, the beast from the earth, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that they should give themselves to themselves a mark upon their right hands and in their foreheads, that no one, and I'll come back and cover this mark here, that no one might buy or sell unless he had the mark. And so let's look at this mark. When I came to the house of Yahweh in the mid-80s, I rejoiced over the information that Pastor brought forth in the Mark of the Beast book. It was exactly what I needed at that time. I was looking for the Sabbath. I was looking for the feast days. And I found that in the Mark of the Beast book and how Pastor explained it. And so, and Pastor explained, Mark of the Beast book explains that what the mark of Yahweh is. We have to understand what the mark of Yahweh is before we can understand what the mark of the beast is. Exodus 31:13, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for they are a sign or a mark. It's the Sabbath. That's it. between me, Yahweh, and you in your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you and makes you holy. The footnote in the book of Yahweh, the Sabbath is a mark of distinction between Yahweh and his people in the relationship that exists between them. That is the fact that Yahweh has chosen his people by letting them inherit the rest, the very day in which he rested. And the Hebrew word 226, sign, a sign, it means a mark. It means the mark we have in our forehead, our hands. It's what we do and think on the Sabbath day. The mark of Yahweh from the Mark of the Beast book here, Exodus 13, 6, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now this is talking about a feast day. And on the seventh day there shall be a feast unto Yahweh. Unleavened bread must be eaten 7 days. No unleavened bread must be seen with you. Neither shall there be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. The house of Yahweh teaches us how to keep the feast days. And notice verse 9. And it shall be a sign, there's that sign, a mark, to you upon your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, it's what we think and do on those feast days, that Yahweh's law shall be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, Yahweh brought you out of Egypt, out of sin. The mark of Yahweh, this is the source from the Mark of the Beast book, volume 1, page 12. The mark of Yahweh is the keeping of the weekly Sabbath day, seventh day Sabbath, and the appointed feast days. Exodus 13:9 shows this mark of Yahweh will be in the hand and in the forehead. And I added Revelation 22:4 here. What a wonderful day it will be when they will see his Yahweh's face and his name will be in their foreheads. Another slide here on the Mark of the Beast, volume 1, pages 12 and 13. And this is what Pastor wrote in the Mark of the Beast book, volume 1. He wrote, very first chapter, I believe, Yahweh's mark causes us to observe the weekly seventh-day Sabbath and Yahweh's appointed feast days. This marks us as belonging to Yahweh. And then here's the Mark of the Beast in this next paragraph here. For anyone who has never heard this before, what a wonderful blessing this is. Pastor says, to look for the mark of the beast, we must look for a mark that would cause us to disobey the laws of Yahweh, a substitute that would cause us to rest or worship on days Yahweh did not make holy, which identify us with the beast and the mark and marking us as ones who obey the beastly system. Setting up a Christmas tree, rolling Easter eggs on Easter, worshiping the dead, praying to the dead on Halloween. These are marks of the beast. So, going back to the scripture in Revelation 13:17, that no one may buy or sell unless he had the mark. This is one of the characteristics of the mark of the beast from the earth. So, what is one of the main policies that the beast from the earth is using in the earth today to get their have their will done and the will of the Catholic Church done? What are economic sanctions? This is what they're one of the things they're using. Economic sanctions against other countries. And this is from the Council on Foreign Relations website, updated August 7th, 2017, just recently. And it says, for many policymakers, economic sanctions have become the tool of choice. It's their first line of they go to in getting imposing their will on other people, on other countries, to respond to major geopolitical challenges and counterterrorism to conflict resolution. And so now this is in the next section here. How does the United States, the beast from the earth, handle these challenges, so to speak? What is the sanctions process in the United States? The United States uses economic and financial sanctions more than any other country. Very powerful country. So when the United States uses sanctions against other countries, it has an economic impact on them. Sanctions policies may originate in either the executive or legislative branches of the U.S. government. Sanctions continued here. Presidents typically launch the process by issuing an executive order that declares a national emergency in response to an unusual and extraordinary foreign threat, such as proliferation of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, or actions, these are examples, actions and policies of the government of the Russian Federation with respect to Ukraine, examples of when sanctions were issued. This affords the president powers to regulate commerce. The beast from the earth will, as we looked at previously here, you know, preventing them from buying, selling, or trading, and that's regulating commerce with respect to that threat for a period of 1 year. It's in effect for 1 year, unless extended by the president or terminated by a joint resolution of Congress. However, you're going to find out here in the next couple sentences that they never rescind these orders. These sanctions stay on the books. They're permanent. Executive orders may also modify sanctions. Notably, most of the more than 50 states of emergencies or sanctions declared since 1976 remain in effect today. That's how they regulate who buys, sells, or trades, including the first ordered by President Jimmy Carter in 1979 with respect to Iran. So now we get to verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding, that's you. That's those who have been studying with the house of Yahweh. Wisdom and understanding, because if you look at the bottom of the slide there, Proverbs 9:10, the reverence of Yahweh is wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's wisdom and understanding. So here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding count the number of the beast. Count it. Let's count it up. And let's use the numbers to describe what it means. For it is a number of man. It's not the number of a man. You don't have to look for one particular person. It's the number of men. And his number is 666. So, count. The number count, the number. The number count means it comes from 5585 pebbles. You can use pebbles, you can use an abacus, you can use your calculator, you can use your iPad, but count the number. It says to compute the number. And it comes from 5586, a pebble is worn smooth by handling. So however you want to count it, go for it. Add it up longhand. The number. The number comes from 706. It means as reckoned up. Now, that didn't mean much to me, as reckoned up, until I thought about it and I'm going to show you the definition of that. And some of the prophecies that Yeshua put, particularly in Revelation 18, with respect to the burning of New York City, the ships stood afar off. And one of the definitions is a reckoned position. They were far enough so the burning didn't affect them. But so anyway, as reckoned up, and it comes from 142, which means to lift up, to take up and away, to raise the voice. But that word number means to reckon up or to count up. So here's the definition of reckon. And this is from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It means to settle accounts. To settle accounts. If you were the subject to sanctions, you might want to settle accounts. It means to make a calculation. You know, we're counting the number. It means to accept something as certain. Okay? Definition of reckoning. And it means calculation of a ship's position. Tie this into Revelation chapter 18, which talks about these ship's captains watching on the horizon or standing off at a safe distance while the city burns. A settling of accounts, a day of reckoning. You know, The day of reckoning, sadly to say, the day of reckoning is coming for this country. You know, I love this country, born here, everything, but Yahweh's kingdom is far greater than the chief of the nations. A summing up. Revelation 13:18, beast. What's the definition of a beast? 23:42, the beast from the earth. A dangerous animal. It's a dangerous system. It's a system that's not friendly toward Yahweh's plan or Yahweh's people. It comes from 23:39. It means hunting, destruction. It's a trap. Yes, the Babylonian system is a trap. If we fall into that trap, we have a hard time getting out of it. It's a bottomless pit. So try crawling out of a bottomless pit once you're sucked into it. Revelation 13:18. It is the number of a man. And so the number of a man, it says a man, but it's not a specific individual. It's a human being, you know, as a member of the human race. It's all of us. Man, and this is the bottom definition there, comes from Bullinger's. Man, it means an individual of the human race, a man or woman, a person, a human being. Man was made out of the dust of the ground. Just as it says in Genesis, made in the image of Yahweh. We want to be created, we want to be shaped, molded into the image of Yahweh. And this next slide here, the main purpose I have here is to prove what I think is proof that it's not talking about the number of a man. If you look in Revelation 13:13 from the King James Version, the word where it talks about fire coming down from heaven or on the earth in the sight of men, that's Greek word 444. And it's the same word used where they interpreted the number of a man in Revelation 13:18. It's 444. So the word men and man is speaking of mankind, people, not of a specific person. Revelation 13:18. So this is from the King James Version. I use this translation because it gives the numbers. It gives the breakdown of the numbers. Count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man, and his number is 600. There's one number. 60, which is 60. That's another number. And 6. So you got three numbers there. 600, 60, and 6. Count them up. 6, it adds up to 666. So let's let's break those numbers down. 600, 60, and 6. The 22nd letter of the Greek alphabet, the 14th letter of the Greek alphabet, and an obsolete letter as a combination, that's the third number, of the Greek alphabet, which is between the 5th and the 6th, used as numbers denoting respectively 600, 60, and 6. 666 as a numeral. 600, 60, and 6. So the first letter here is the letter representing the value of 600. It's pronounced Chi, I believe, and it has a value of 600. The second letter, Zai, has a value of 60. Third letter, stigma, and many of you may know the definition of stigma, and we'll cover that. And that represents the number of 6, numerical symbol for the number 6. So here's the definition of stigma. Stigma, it means to stick, to prick, a mark. And I think this is part of the understanding about the mark of the beast. You know, so it's not a brand that the Romans imprinted on a slave to show ownership. It's not that kind of mark at all. It's in our minds. It's in our hands. Mark of Yahweh, mark of the beast. It's what we do, what we believe. A mark incised or punched for recognition of ownership. Okay, so definition of stigma. This comes from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's archaic, which means it has an old... The old definition was a scar left by a hot iron. It may have applied in Roman times. And I guess the cattle ranchers still brand their cattle. Maybe some of them do. I don't know. Notice, it's a mark of shame or discredit, a stigma. It's an identifying mark or characteristic. But anyway, that's the definition of... And it is. It's the mark of Yahweh or the mark of the beast. Okay, now I'd like to look at those numbers 600, definition of 600, definition of 60, definition of 6. But first of all, I'm going to define those numbers with the Hebrew letter, the Hebrew definitions. Why? Because Yahshua gave us the book of Revelation, and he was a Hebrew man. He spoke in Hebrew, as it says here in Acts 26. Look at verse 14 here. Well, this is the Apostle Shaul wrote this, and he persecuted the called out ones. He was a Roman soldier, and it says in verse 13 here, he's talking to Agrippa, I believe. O king, along the way I saw a blaze of light, surpassing the brilliance of a sun, Yeshua's face like the shining of the sun, flashing in front of me and those who were traveling with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Yeshua was a Hebrew man. He spoke Hebrew. And so that's why I want to define these numbers Hebrew numbers. So the first one here, 600, 3 score, and 6. The first, H6, definition of 6 in Hebrew, to wander away, to lose oneself, by implication, to perish, to destroy. Now, this is part of the prophecy of doom that Yeshua is speaking here. But this sounds like somebody who left the house of Yahweh or somebody who's going to be destroyed because they're not protected. And then let's look at the Hebrew word number 60 here. Lamentation. And when we get to reading Revelation 18, talking about these ship's captains lamenting the burning of New York City, that's all they're doing. That word's used a half a dozen times. Lamentation. It means to bewail or to mourn, to lament. 600. 3 score. Okay, the definition of 600 here. Now, I came across this definition, or at least understood it maybe, in the sermon with respect to Noah and the flood. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came upon the earth. So the definition of 600, it means the face of man. And it that came from word 639, the nose or nostril. I thought of these people drowning and a rapid breathing and passion. They were suffering, yes they were, but they were also angry. Why were they angry? That comes from word 599, to breathe hard, that is to be enraged. So, why were they angry? They were angry because their gods whom they served were not able to save them from destruction. That's what it meant. And so, you see how these definitions... This is Yeshua's prophecy. He spoke against the beast from the earth. By Yahweh's plan, this is 2 Kefa 3, the world then existed, was flooded with water, and it was destroyed. By the same plan, the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are reserved for fire. They're reserved for fire. And the ninth chapter of the Mark of the Beast book talks about this, the destruction of New York City. until the day of judgment for the destruction of unrighteous men. There's another aspect to counting the number, and that was coming from, I guess I'd just like to move on here. Count the number of the beast. And this is the what Daniel wrote about Belshazzar. He says, "You, his son, O Belteshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. Instead, you have exalted yourself against Yahweh in heaven." And notice verse 26 here, right at the bottom. Yahweh has numbered your kingdom and ended it. You know, count the number. Count the number, as Yeshua said. Count the number in Daniel 5, verses 27 to 28. You can read that. And it means his kingdom was numbered and it was given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, in these last days, the kingdoms of this earth, including the kingdoms of the second beast, are going to be given to the saints of Yahweh. Destruction of New York City. Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth Malak sounded, and I saw a star, this is a nuclear bomb or bombs, fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him, or to it, unto this bomb, was given the key to the bottomless pit. It's going to open up the destruction of this whole system. And it opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. When a city burns, it may look to someone who was standing off as the smoke from a great furnace. There's a lot of material that's going up in smoke and flames. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of it. So now let's go to Revelation 18, verse 7. And this is what the ship's captains are saying. And the measure that she glorified herself, she lived luxuriously, speaking of the city Babylon. So in that measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I said a queen, and am no widow, and will see no sorrow. Mayor de Blasio recently in his inaugural speech, He said, we are the safe, speaking of New York City, we are the safest city in America. And that's commendable. He was speaking of a low murder rate in the city, the lowest since 1951. That's all commendable. But I just heard the part where he said, we're the safest city in America. I don't know if any city is safe in this world that has thousands and thousands of nuclear bombs. And then verse 8 of... speaking of what the ship's captains are doing here, verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live luxuriously with it will wail over her and lament, Hebrew word 60, they'll lament for her when she will see the smoke of her burning. And the merchants of these things who were made rich by her will stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. You can read the rest of this. They're crying, they're weeping, they're wailing. Hey, we don't have to stop at that city anymore. It doesn't exist. Revelation 13, 11 through 18 is describing the United States, the nation consisting of two main religions, Catholic and Protestant. The United States is giving its strength to Vatican City by supporting the Pope's directives and instructions. The number 666 is the number that describes a city that will experience, unless it repents, destruction and all the definitions from these numbers. So, in conclusion here, count the number of the beast. Count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man, and his number is 666. The number 666 applies to unconverted people, those who have not been called by Yahweh, and those who have fallen away or rejected Yahweh's calling. Yeshua is revealing through the number 666 the fate, the end result of the beast from the earth. destruction of the city of Babylon, New York. The number 666 is not a number to be feared by those who have the mark of Yahweh. You don't have to fear that number. The number 666 is a prophecy of doom that Yeshua gave for the beast from the earth. May Yahweh bless your understanding. It's now my honor and privilege to introduce the great Kohen, Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Of course, getting into the news and the things that we've seen taking place, of course, these things are more and more putting into our minds, allowing us to see the information that Pastor has been bringing out for many, many years, for his entire life. And of course, this surely you won't die syndrome is more contagious than the flu, and it has been for 6,000 years. You can do whatever you want, and surely you won't die. Well, we want to get a hold and get a hold of our young people here, because many people look to this world and they think it can't be that bad. You know, what's going on out there is not that bad. And truly, as it was said in Genesis 3, it looks desirable. It looks fun. Well, of course, right now you have teenagers, this new trend going through where they're actually taking Tide Pods. Now, this is laundry detergent in the small little canisters that when moisture hits it, it dissolves. Well, inside those little pods are poison. They're not meant to be in your body. Well, people are doing it, and of course, they're getting sick from it. But it's one of these things that you want to know what the world's doing? They're testing the limits. They're trying to see what all can I do so surely I won't die. But the whole deception going through is they're dying as they're doing it. The sin is already, death is already in the body. And of course, they are fading. And then the CDC. Of course, the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, of course, now this was a few weeks ago. It said CDC planned session on the medical response to a nuclear detonation. And it says they were preparing for the unthinkable. And of course, the reason they did so was that we're talking about this week. Now, this week was when the leader of North Korea and, of course, United States President were talking about who had the bigger button sitting on their desk for detonating a nuclear bomb. Well, of course, it said, with this week's bellicose boasting. Now, bellicose, of course, means demonstrating aggressive and willingness to fight. So it's aggression and a willingness to fight. So retaliate, the complete opposite of the character of Yahweh or the peaceful solution. And it says they were boasting about who has the bigger red button on his desk. An alert Thursday from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention felt more than a bit on the nose. With the prospect of an actual nuclear war breaking out. Now, Pastor's been telling them this for years. They made fun of him just back in 2008 when he talked about this nuclear baby. But did he back down? No. Did he continue to tell them this is what's going to come upon you? Yes, he did. And of course, to all of those who believe, Psalms 91, as it says, the house of Yahweh, Yahweh will be your protection. Well, of course, with this aspect of nuclear war breaking out between North Korea and the United States seeming ever more real, the CDC is moving to prepare health professionals and others on what the public health response would be to a nuclear detonation. Now, with all of that planning that's been going on, they had to cancel it this last week because of the flu. They didn't carry it out because the flu has become more of a pandemic or epidemic than they considered. Now, a study that just came out, and this came out in many news sources. The one we're using is NBC, and it's the health news. And it says the flu virus might be spread, The flu virus might be spread not only by coughing and sneezing, but also by simply breathing, researchers said in a new report. So simply by breathing. Now, they're just now seeing something that pastors said for many years. It's in the air. I wonder how scared they're going to be when they find out STDs are in the air. They're breathing them. Now, pastors brought this for years, and they're just now catching on. They found clear evidence that influenza patients breathe the virus out through their mouths and nose in tiny particles that can stay suspended in the air for minutes or hours. Imagine walking through Walmart being thankful, I don't have the flu. And then all of the stuff you're breathing in, but it's not just the flu. Think about all the other things that are in the air that we're breathing in and we're touching. And why it's even so more important to come out from amongst them. It says, what the new study suggests is that people may need to do more than just wash their hands and keep a distance from sneezing and coughing people to avoid catching the flu. We found that flu cases contaminated the air around them with infectious virus just by breathing without coughing or sneezing, said Dr. Donald Milton, who has been studying flu transmission at the University of Maryland School of Public Health. If you're not coughing, you can still infect other people, he added. Many people shedding viruses into the air are shedding real infectious viruses. Now, you may feel odd when you go out and you're wearing a mask, but when you keep yourself from getting some of this stuff, do you feel so odd after that? Aren't you thankful that you protected yourself or you put something on you to protect you? Well, that's what Pastor's been trying to get across to us for many years. Protect ourselves. Whatever we do, protect ourselves. Guard ourselves. Don't get caught into this uncleanness. Now, of course, a healthy body can deal with this a lot better than an unhealthy body, because many people are dying of this flu. And when you get the flu, it's not when you should start cleansing. You should start cleansing long before you get these things. And of course, Yahweh willing, very soon these things will be a thing of the past. And then we go into how a teacher was arrested. Now, this was a school board meeting that's supposed to promote education. Now, of course, our schools are failing. Everyone knows they're failing. Anyone who deals with school teachers knows they're very frustrated. And they say right now in the United States, if a teacher can last for 4 years, they'll usually stay in that position for a little bit. But most of them are quitting within 4 years. So they go to college longer than they're actually doing the job they went to college for. Now, that's a problem. Well, one of the teachers stood up. They hadn't got a raise in 10 years, but the superintendent was getting a $30,000 a year raise. And she questioned, why are you doing that, but we still are not getting a raise? Well, of course, she was arrested. Now, they say it was for resisting arrest, but you can see what took place in that yourself. And then China. Now, China's coming out, and watch China very closely. The tensions with China are growing drastically. China's already started the trading of oil outside the petrodollar. And China is also warning the United States, stay off the Korean Peninsula. We do not want you doing what you're doing here. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that the United States is just trying to deal with North Korea. China's a lot bigger problem than North Korea. China is taking the petrodollar. They're taking oil money. North Korea is a country that is known as a impoverished and poor country. They have a bullet they're threatening to shoot. China has way more than that. So if North Korea is dangerous, how much more dangerous is China viewed? Pay close attention. Now Russia comes out, Vladimir Putin comes out, and he says what the House of Yahweh brought out a while back, that Kim Jong-un is a brilliant politician. He got his way, and now he's negotiating peace. And everybody's jumping on board. China, Russia, other countries are saying, now the United States needs to listen here, because now they're talking peacefully. They want to meet. They want to work these things out. Now, of course, with the Olympics taking place on the Korean Peninsula, you should see a lot die down, because every nation is sending people there. Now, no one wants the risk. It would be very detrimental for someone to do something in a military stance with that many people from that many nations there. The nations would be extremely angry. But, of course, you see an olive branch coming out from North Korea to South Korea, and they're trying to portray this peace. Also, Hawaii this last week, this last Sabbath. Think about this, if this was to occur in the mainland, where you get an alert across your phone telling you a ballistic nuclear missile is headed your way. You have 15 minutes to react. Well, of course, if you're on a teeny island in Hawaii, what more do you have to do than just die? There's not much more you can do. There were people putting their children in manhole, you know, these manhole covers, the water lines, the sewers. They were putting them everywhere hoping they would survive. But you can't survive those things. The protection only comes up from Yahweh's house. Now, we showed, praise Yahweh. But remember, the house of Yahweh has already showed these things. The warning is going out. You won't be safe in Hawaii. It's a beautiful place, but there's no safety. That's not the place of protection. And, of course, a lot of people got to see a little bit of reality this last week before they came out and said it was a false alert. And then global warming. They're still pushing this global warming, and many people are still coming out and saying, we don't believe it's true. We don't believe there is global warming. Of course, wood stoves have been burning for years. Pastors brought that out. If they'll just listen to what he says, pastor is saying, the witness is saying, if they'll take their flu and show how it's in the air, this virus is in the air, it's going around, The firmament is sick, and they'll take that and put it with global warming. They will put together the pieces he's been trying to show for years. It's our sins that are causing this global warming. But of course, there's still an argument because they really don't know the true cause of global warming. But through the witness, they can get these things. Through us that tether ourselves to the witness, they can get these things. And then in and around the great river Euphrates, you have Turkey and the United States and Syria. Of course, the United States is building up arms. Now Turkey is building up more arms. And they're using what the United States refers to as the YPG. That is what Turkey looks at as a terrorist group. Well, the United States uses them. The United States funds them. Of course, they're mercenaries. And as Vladimir Putin said, they fight for whoever pays them. If someone else pays them more, they'll fight for them. There's no loyalty. It's about money. Well, of course, you have that, and Turkey is saying, our patients are running out with you. We're sick of this because of the tension building, because the United States refuses to remove itself. And, of course, Syria is also sick of it because the United States is refusing to remove itself. Now, while all of that is taking place, you have NATO meeting, dealing with Russia, talking about Russia, and, of course, what was the conclusion? We need more arms. Like, we don't have enough. And the comments that come out? There's more profit to be made on arms. And of course, what did Pastor bring out? Why do they have wars? It brings forth money. It makes money. Now, keep in mind, while all of that's going on, of course, you have Norway, EU to push for a two-state solution. Now, this is being pushed by the Quartet. The Quartet is pushing this, and it shows that Norway and the European Union announced on Wednesday that they will convene an extraordinary session at the end of the month in an attempt to push the two-state solution to end the Israeli-Palestinian-Arab conflict. And of course, it says the meeting will be in Brussels on January the 31st. Now, it goes on to say that there's an urgent need to bring all parties together to discuss measures to speed up efforts that can underpin a negotiated two-state solution. Now, what they're wanting to do is to give Palestine part of Jerusalem. And, of course, Israel is going to get part of Jerusalem. And if you notice what Donald Trump did, the president, he put flame on the fire where now people have to react. They have to do something. Because there's so much tension going on, to calm it down, they're going to have to come to an agreement. But notice the date. Remember Pastor said watch for October 13th this last year? It says, furthermore, it's necessary to enable the Palestinian Authority to execute full control over Gaza based on the Cairo agreement from October 12, 2017, it added, referring to the Hamas-Fatah reconciliation agreement. That was the date that Fatah and Hamas, of course, the two ruling authorities in Palestine, signed a unity agreement. They came together instead of fighting with each other. It'd be like Democrat-Republican coming together, which is impossible, I think. But that's what it's showing. Now, take all of these things going on. You have a two-state solution. You have problems in around the great river Euphrates, you have China and the United States getting ready to go at it, and you have NATO trying to deal with Russia. Every bit of this has been brought by the one sent for many, many, many years, and everything is coming to pass, just like he said, just like the diseases are in the air, just like he said, it's all going to take place according to the seventh Malak. At this time, if we could please play the news. The great Kahan Yehuda Werner Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. I normally don't like doing rush jobs, but boy, this was one. I was sitting back in the office looking things up. Hey, you got to speak. Okay. If you will, I turn to Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8. Pastor said this is very important. He wanted this to be brought out real quick and everything, and then we have to continue on. Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8. Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8. So Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, bird of the air, for I am regretting what they have become. But Noah found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh. And the reason for that, of course, is Noah is in the line of Yahshua, the messianic line. First, we have always taught Scripture interprets Scripture. So this is talking about Noah. Genesis 6:8, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, shows the person Yahweh is talking to in Genesis 6:7 is Noah. He's saying, Noah, man, and all these problems he's talking about. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm trying to bring it into the conclusion. The word said that is written in Genesis 6, verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew word yamar. This word is listed on page 115 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means speak to the children of Israel and say to them. In other words, speak to these people and say this to them. The word man that is written in Genesis 6, verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew word Adam. This word is listed on page 8 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means man, but it is in first person and masculine singular, which means it is a subject of a sentence or a clause, like birds eat nuts, like pecans or peanuts, things like that, or grain. Well, birds are just a subject because that's what it's talking about. And that's what I'm saying. Whoever was talking about birds to someone. And that someone, Genesis 6, verse 8, is Noah. He was saying, speak to these people and tell them these things. The word man, okay, it's the subject of the discourse. The word for that is written in Genesis 6, 7 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wall. This word is listed on page 378 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament. It shows this word means and. The word but that is written in Genesis 6, verse 8 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wa again. But this time, the word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word in this case means for. So this is what is being said in Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8. And it's very important. So Yahweh said to whom? Noah. That's who he's talking to. Speak to the children of my people. Now, he was talking to Moshe about the children of Israel, but here he's talking about his people, the house of Yahweh, and say to them, man whom I have created will destroy himself. Remember, right up the road from where he was being talked to were places like Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were destroying themselves with fighting, STDs, all of it. Man whom I have created will destroy himself. Yahweh's not going to go blow them up. Man's going to blow himself up, as Revelation says. Both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, from the face of the earth this thing will be done to them, and I am regretting what they have become. Yahweh created man to become like him. And what were they doing? Become like a bunch of rotters. R-O-T-T-E-R. In other words, they were rotten to the core because they followed Satan. And I am regretting what they have become, that because they're not doing what I want them to do. Instead of going in my ways, eating clean food, because the two biggest causes of death that you can watch is unclean food and sexual misconduct. But Noah found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh because he was keeping all of Yahweh's laws. And with that understanding, may Yahweh bless your understanding, and I return the services back to Kohan Ilya.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Now, of course, in thinking about what's being brought here and what we've been seeing and what we've been hearing and the knowledge that has poured from this great house, as remember, as Zacharias said, that the one named Branch, he would go to a land not yet established in a Babylonish land, and he would build the house of Yahweh. And of course, Isaiah 2:2, Micaiah 4:1 tells us that we will go learn of his way. And that learn of his way, of course, comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And those scriptures are something we should continually remember so that we may choose life and live and not death. And remember Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. For we are servants. In fact, turn there very quickly. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. On page 878. And it says, do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey? And notice whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. And that should come back to our minds more and more. Deuteronomy chapter 30, where we're told in verse 15 that you shall love Yahweh. I command you to love Yahweh. Well, I want you to take a look at this. Everybody sees this. We use the stop sign in the Peaceful Solution, and we have the stop, think, consider your options, and proceed. Well, the yield sign. Whenever you're driving down the street, what are you supposed to do with the yield sign? Of course, at first you stop, and then you look for danger, right? Well, when you keep your appointment with Yahweh, you're looking for danger. You're actually proceeding on the right way because the one sent is saying, go this way, avoid that. You're being influenced. And of course, when we yield ourselves to the influence of Satan, we don't look for danger. We go the way which seems right in a man's eyes, but the end thereof is death. So we must always pay attention to that. But I have an announcement here before we proceed on. And of course, it is a book giveaway winners. And here are the winners from the book giveaway. Dwina Lee Hill from Kailua, Hawaii. Amber Hensley from Lexington, Kentucky. Man, a lot of winners here. Stasia Zizelman from Abilene, Texas. David Hoffman from McCall, Idaho. We're covering the world here, guys. This is great. Manuel Pagani from Pisa, Italy. Yaconia Yash from Texas. Kasadim Shalom from Texas. Ilya Hawkins Carrero. I got excited. Just USA. Garrett Davidson from Lawrenceville, Georgia. And Kate Brown from Palm Coast, Florida. Now, of course, if we called your name, please contact us so that we can get you the book that you won. You guys just won something greater than the Powerball. And at this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Hey, we got a crowd here today. Wow. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Oh, this is wonderful. That's the reason I gave that list to Kohan Eliyah. I couldn't pronounce them either. But I got closer than he did, I noticed. Yeah. But you got to remember what the two previous elders now brought out. Kohan David Hammerman Hawkins and Yehuda. We're trying to get a book together on the 666 numbers. I think on these translations, I'm thinking we'll probably leave the book of Yahweh as is, and then have references to the book of corrected translations, where there's obvious flaws that throws the people off and gets them to thinking that Yahweh is a beast instead of the beast, the 666 beast. But Yahweh, of course, created the heavens and the earth. He created them to where they'd have protection and guidance, and they rejected it, and now he's allowing them to go their own way. Their time is about up. Scripture shows 6,000 years, And of course, that 6,000 years, that last generation that we're in right now, ends that 6,000-year period. We're tops on Google again today. Each new year seems to bring more unnatural events, and there were several people now using the word unnatural events. The fishing has now ceased on ice. The ice is getting too thin for them to drive their car out there, I guess. I was just talking to someone yesterday about in Oklahoma, we used to cut a hole in the ice in the wintertime and fish down through it. We could do that again this year, I think. They're making fun of global warming because of the extreme cold weather, and they're missing the point completely here. It's not that the Earth is overheating. It is at times breaking records, but it's also breaking records on the cold. It's extreme in everything now, and that's what the sin brings. It's the microorganisms, if you've read the book, the kingdoms in heaven that make your rain, form the raindrops, send just enough. They're having trouble adjusting. They can't fight it, and they're crying out to Yahweh for help. Just like the blood of Cain, that Cain shed, is crying out for help. On Facebook, people have watched the video for a total of 7,000 minutes so far. Now, that's not up there long. Hadn't been up there long. And we're getting a great feedback here on that Facebook. The number's coming up really rapidly. Each new year seems to bring more unnatural events. That's today's headlines. 62 million running that newspapers. The scope is reaching all the way around the world. The flu epidemics is not quite staying up with the abortions. If you could write this down and really pay attention to it, write down the four horns of the golden altar with it. The global abortions that we're fighting against, that is crying out to Yahweh. They would have brought the microorganisms would have brought a flood long ago if Yahweh hadn't have set laws, boundaries for them to go to let man bring it down even more. And then he shows the global warming the global fire that's going to take place, the burning. Instead of the two floods that we've had, then the earth, man is going to blame Yahweh in spite of everything Yahweh has done to warn him that what he's doing is going to bring 1 hour burning that's going to completely burn this earth. But now get this, global abortions top 1 million for first 10 days of, and I'll say their God's name again, January. Maybe you didn't get that. The number of abortions performed worldwide in 2018, that's this year, the first 10 days of it, crossed the 1 million mark and I'll say another God's name Wednesday. You see how hard it is to get those names out of your mouth? Satan has really done a job on people with this calendar. They call it the Roman calendar, the serpent's calendar. In case you didn't know it, the word Vatican, if you want to Google it, you'll see it means a divining serpent. And of course, the divining serpent is behind, as we see in the gematrias on the 666, when we get the book made on the mistranslations, we're also working on this book 666, where it shows everything connected with this 666. And if you run this through the gematria, you'll find out you can't cross it up. It's, you know, it's there, and it's pointing out this number that the great elder Heimerman just brought out, this 666 that covers all the activities of Satan. Of course, where we're seeing our buildup is started with Cush's Nimrod military, which Nimrod means rebellion. That's what you see throughout the earth today. It means take what you want. Tap these things in. Run them through the gematria. Learn to do it if you got time. You don't have to. We're doing it for you. We're going to have it in a book where you can look up any subject alphabetically or saying, and it will be there for you. We'll have references in the next printing of the Book of Yahweh showing the mistranslations, and have a book or maybe something you can pull up on the internet quickly and write the book later, but where you can pull it up and see what it means and the true translation, like the great Kohan Yehuda brought out this morning. The number of abortions performed worldwide 2018 crossed the 1 million mark Wednesday, according to the statistics published by the World Health Organization. Global abortions topped 1 million for first 10 days, just the first 10 days of their January God. The first 10 days of that God, he killed over 1 million babies. He murdered more than 1 million babies. I'll ask like the Pope does. Do you understand that? Everyone should be fighting back, fighting for righteousness. Everyone in the world, all you weak-livered preachers out there that's hearing me, you haven't got guts enough to stand up for any righteousness at all. If you did, you'd be standing behind me right now saying, yes, yes, yes. A website called Worldometer keeps a running record, if you want to look it up yourself, of data related to everything from demographics to economics, and also provides continuously updated total for abortions performed in the calendar year. As of this writing, the number of abortions for 2018 stood at 1,000,000,770. Whew! World Omega Centers on Abortion is based on the latest statistics of world abortions published by World Health Organizations. According to World Health Organizations, there are an estimated annual 40 to 50 million abortions in the world. 40 to 50 million abortions in the world every year, which corresponds to approximately 125,000 abortions performed each day.
each day, 125,000 babies murdered by this beastly system numbered 666. Currently, abortion is the leading cause of death in the United States. Abortion, murder of babies, is the leading cause of death in our great United States, followed by heart disease, cancer, lower respiratory disease. Abortions count for 900,000 U.S. deaths each year. That's 900,000 deaths in the U.S. each year. What's the cause? What's causing them to kill all these babies? The difference between an abortion pill and the morning after, you'll find this out soon. California is going to make it mandatory to have it in all their schools free of charge. The killer pill, the killer baby pill. How much does an abortion? Here's the reason. How much does an abortion cost in the United States? Abortions are relatively cheap, you know. It's the price they sell the baby parts for is what makes them the money. Abortions, you can get them from about $600 to $1,200 a piece. But where they really get their money, the retail value of fetal organs harvested by Planned Parenthood, wow, go from $400 to $25,000 for stem cells grown from fetal organs. You better watch your products that you buy from the store. From the store. You better watch it. They're using it. They're selling these things big time. The article here says, was 1998 one of the trashiest years in America pop culture history? Of course it was, and they pull Bill Clinton out as an example, him and Lewinsky. where their failure is not Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is a product. He was a product, that activity of his in those years. If you paid any attention or remember him as president, if you're old enough, he's also the one that brought forth the peace treaty. They signed it in 1993. But this man was following his conscience, which the preacher said, you know, just do whatever you want to do. This was the teaching that came forth from Cush. Now, when the nation started spreading abroad, Cush put forth this teaching that, you know, if we formed a police force to protect us, we wouldn't be taken in. We wouldn't be taken captive. If we formed ourselves a police force. Well, the police forces, then, each town got one because it wasn't to protect the people, but it was to keep their taxpayers in where they wanted them to be, the ones who they got tribute from. So the town or city with the largest police force would go into a city that wasn't protected, and they would, like the racketeers, they'd say, you give us this much tribute, and we'll protect you from the other police officers. These police departments turned into roving armies that Daniel spoke of, showing which one would be the greatest was the one that combined the armies of three others. by their religions, combining their religions. Four religions. This is what brought forth the great Roman army, the roving army that turned into the Roman, which means strong soldier, that brought forth this great army of strong soldiers who was big enough, they're the most powerful, and they took tribute wherever they wanted it. And of course, I brought that out. The word, the Hebrew word, shows take what you want by any means. Just take what you want by any means, but be strong enough to protect it. I'll bring more later, but to make a long story short, you have armies here now, four of them, four great armies, and all conducted by the Catholic Church, by the Vatican, who has its tentacles in every nation, but you also have opposition arising. They have Catholics in their nation too, but they don't want to pay tribute to Rome. Syria is one of them. China is another one. You could go through and pick where you see the troubles and know that these people decided they didn't want to give all this money to Rome. They didn't want to give their tribute to someone else. They wanted to keep it in their own nation. Russia is another one. Well, of course, this brings opposition. They rose up. They just started creating their own army to combat giving the other army that wanted them to give them their money to fight back. And this is where we stand today. When President Roosevelt, is either Roosevelt or Truman, dropped the bomb, the two bombs, one on Hiroshima, the other on Nagasaki, he said, "Now, no nation will dare attack us. We'll prove that we are the strongest nation on the face of the earth. So no one will dare attack us now." Well, you can see that that's not true anymore. What they used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki is very weak compared to the weapons that North Korea has today. One weapon in South Korea or any other place is going to take out a lot of military. They're getting ready right now to hold the Olympics in South Korea. North Korea is not a part of it. They didn't show up for the meeting. This is a pretty foolish move unless you got plans for nuclear war. Now, if you got plans to take out everyone that is not Catholic, this would be a perfect place to start. But there's so many perfect places now scattered throughout the whole earth. So many places that one bomb could start this whole scenario of what we see, the great burning shown in Revelations 18. All started with the rejection of Yahweh, chapter 10 of Genesis, where Cush created the military academies that have risen to what we see today. Every city, every state, every nation. There's no nation on earth that doesn't have the Nimrod system. None. And Yahweh says in Revelations 12:9, she deceives the whole world. This deception is God worship. And you can go to the Nimrod system and get 666 from it. And it shows you what is 666 and what is Yahweh. This is a valuable book if we can just get it printed and out to the people. flu season is shaping up as one of the worst in years, officials say, the World Health Organization say. The only way to keep from getting it, they say, is stop breathing. I guess it doesn't bother the dead that you wouldn't last very long, but hospitalization is up and the money is rolling in, just like it is on abortion. If you remember Dr. Hayes, and I'll quote his words, he said, there's several thousand different forms of flu now. It started with the monkey, the pig, and human beings. Now, you could say maybe that the pig went out and raped these others, or the monkey went out and raped them, but I don't think you'll find that true. And the Pope would rather say that than he'd rather admit the truth. But the truth is, man brought this. These are men's sins caused this flu to come together. Now, from that initial sins came forth what we're seeing today. It's getting worse every year. And they're saying now, the World Health Organization is saying now that we're looking for a long flu season this year. Very long one. This week, it showed all the things that I wanted to talk about on the news this Sabbath. Had them lined up, you know, to talk during this sermon. And everything kept rolling in. I kept changing the articles and saying this one is better than that one. But they came in all week. Here's a man, a dad, diagnosed with Alzheimer's at just 30 years old. 30 years old. And already got Alzheimer's. This is an older person's disease, supposed to be. Is told he's got it. Is told that his toddler twin have 50% chance of inheriting disease. After that, there was a football player, and in his young years, he's alive right now. But he is making gobs of money, he said. I don't know what team he is on or anything, but they had him on yesterday evening's World News. He is sitting there with his wife and toddler. The man had just diagnosed of cancer. They operated on him. He had a gob of money stored up, he said. And that money started disappearing. They operated on him. And thought they had it all, of course. They tell them that every time. Every time they tell them that. And they sell them all these drugs and all these operations, and they tell them, I think we got it all. Well, a little while later, he found out he had cancer again. This football player. His money was almost gone already. He said, now I'm bankrupt. I have no money left. And then he was just told that his toddler had kidney cancer. And here he's broke, no money left, he can't play football anymore. His body won't play football anymore. And he's just a young man. Not only are they murdering the babies and call it abortion, selling baby parts and saying, bring them on, we'll pay you this much. We'll make the abortions free. President Trump, breaking news. Trump calls out the revolution door. Trump calls out the revolving door of corruption. The revolving door of corruption between government and big pharmacy. Drug companies have an unbelievable lobby. And these guys that run for office are all taken care of by the drug companies. Now, this is the President of the United States bringing this to light. It's no bull. He's got the proof for it, or he wouldn't bring it. A rigged health care system, get this, this is Trump, our President Trump, a rigged health care system has forced ordinary Americans into trusting the dangerous and expensive drugs made by big pharmacy, including toxic drugs, drugs that don't work, drugs with risky side effects, and drugs that kill. I remind you again, this is our president that's bringing this information to light. Now President Trump is battling big pharmacy and the politicians who profit from this $1.05 trillion drug cartel. Who will win? Donald Trump, big pharmacy, is getting away with murder. What else can you call it? I've been calling it that for years and telling the murders of these babies that all nations now are participating in. All nations, which your Bible, if you got a Bible or if you got a book of Yahweh out there, any of you people, if you got a Bible, look at Revelations 12:9. You might back that up with Genesis 3, verse 5, which says, you're evil like the gods. All nations is worshiping gods. All nations is fighting in war. All nations are butchering their babies and selling their body parts. Oh, you're a fine specimen to look at. And you think you're going to go to heaven. Because that lying preachers, the lying hypocrite preachers, lying satanic God-worshipping preachers are telling you you're going to live forever. You won't die. Expose the dirty little secrets by big pharmacy, exposed the dirty little secrets of big pharmacy, the drugs that don't work, the drugs that make you dependent on more drugs, the drugs that kill. They're all part of a big pharmacy of $1.5 trillion a year drug empire, he says. And business is so good, even multi-million-dollar fines don't slow them down. Let's be clear. Big pharmacies is not in the medicine business. Big pharmacy is a chemical manufacturing business. Big pharmacy is in the chemical manufacturing business. I've told you before that your body is not made of chemicals. They keep calling it chemical. It's not made of chemicals. It can't even stand chemicals. It has to fight them off or die with them. I brought this out years ago, every bit of this, that they're finally waking up to the fact and starting doing it now themselves, even the President of the United States. Nothing they prescribe comes strictly from nature. Nothing they prescribe comes strictly from nature because they can't patent it to make money. They can't patent a vitamin or an herb. Another thing, your body was not designed to ingest chemicals. And finally, big pharmacy doesn't make money if you get cured from their chemicals. Return business is the key to their $1.5 trillion a year. Big pharmacy drugs keep you hooked just like street drugs. Just like any common drug dealer on the street, big pharmacy wants to make sure you stay hooked on their chemicals. In fact, big pharmacist drugs often create new problems, side effects, so you can't be prescribed even more, so you can be prescribed even more drugs. An article was handed to me this morning, but I didn't have time to get it, but it showed that this was just one person who is average now in the world. They had her on 50, I think it was 51 or 54 different drugs. In this way, every time you renew your prescription, well, ding goes the cash register. That's the sound of big pharmacy putting more money in their pocket at your risk. And even worse, you may never get better. It's no exaggeration calling some of big pharmacies drug poisons, not cures, but poisons. Here's why. Warfarin, also called Comadin or Coumadin, is a popular blood thinner. It's also the active ingredient in many rat poisons. Yeah. Botox, famous for chemical facelifts, I think they put that in some creams and things like that. You need to watch it. Botox, famous for chemical facelifts, is now being used to fight migraine headaches. Botox is made from bacteria called botulinum toxin. That's the cause of deadly food poisoning. Not only that, you know, they use STDs too to make some of this stuff. I mean, just directly. Statin drugs are so toxic they require constant blood monitoring because they can cause serious liver damage. So why doesn't the government step in and protect us? Unfortunately, with billions of dollars at stake, the government has formed a dangerous partnership with the drug pharmacy. In fact, many top government administrators come out of big pharmacy, or they go into big pharmacy when they get out of the government. Did you get that? In fact, many top government administrators come out of big pharmacy or go into big pharmacy when they come out of government. Now, this is what President Trump is wanting to put a stop to. That may be why he wants to shut down the government and start over. What's more, many of these same government watchdogs have heavy investment in pharmaceutical stocks. This revolving door of craft and corruption puts you in danger. And there's virtually zero accountability, he said. Here's proof. Under the government's watch, the pharmaceutical watchdog collects billions of dollars in direct payment from big pharmacy to expedite drug approvals. Did you get that? These are your politicians. These big dollar donors include at least five of the top pharmaceutical companies in the world. In exchange for their money, a record-breaking 51 new therapies were approved in a single year, including a slew of risky diabetic medication, blood thinners, and dangerous weight loss drugs. Do you still think your government is looking out for you? It's no wonder. Over 200,000 people die each year from taking government-approved drugs. Even when there is an occasional recall resulting in multimillions, of dollars in lawsuits, fines, and penalties. It's just a slap on the wrist to these billion or billionaires. Mobsters would call it a price for doing business. Mobsters. Calling them mobsters. That's the top of the crop. You need to pray for the people who are sick. Pray that they'll start cleansing. They're saying the flu only kills those who are not cleansing. And their bodies are clogged up, and their kidneys is not working properly, their lungs, liver, so forth. All of those things should be practiced. The cleansing. Cleansing, it's not against the law to cleanse. Yet. It might be later. But pray for them. The prayer of faith works wonders. I'll guarantee you, it works wonders. You'll think, well, why did he get well so soon? Anyway, we're bringing forth, and you can be very glad of it, we're bringing forth what is going to stop all this. I don't know if you got the book yet, any of you, of Trump's, but it's called Far and Fury. And, of course, those words right there, I won't go through them big time, but go over to Isaiah, and we'll close with this. Isaiah 14, because this is actually named 2,700 years ago in the Scriptures, and it's for this generation, of course. And he's speaking to Satan here. If you can imagine this time period of you're fallen, Satan. Well, this is speaking of a time period here. Revelations is the one that gives you that time period. And Revelations 18 shows the burning. So does chapter 17. 13 shows the two-horned beast, now having a little bit of trouble with the third horn, but this far a flying serpent is so. I thought that was so interesting that this book would call this Far and Fury, and we got gobs lined up for this to be brought, but anyway, I wanted to bring this part, but 14 is talking about the fall of Babylon. Babylon, of course, is in Syria, took in that whole country there, and you can see, now that part right there, if you'd go back and get my work on the wars in the Middle East, I brought this out and how Syria was going to be taken. And, of course, Israel will be, their land will be expanded. They're going to really think they're blessed. and that's what their big hopes are right now. You know, this is more of take what you want. Get a strong army where you can take what you want. That's the Nimrod system. Remember that. Well, here in Isaiah 14, we see how have you fallen? In Revelations 18, 17 and 18 shows this mystery Babylon that we see in Genesis, the 10th chapter, the Cush-Nimrod system. Babylon was their first start of this teaching, and of course they built a huge army, brought Babylon to be one of the leading cities of the world. But of course their strength was only in that was the top shown there of strength, and it didn't stand. And of course, they had their, in this generation, in my generation, they had their hopes of the nuclear bombs or the atom bombs at that time being a deterrent to anyone who didn't want to pay tribute or anyone who wanted to take anything that the United States wanted. They would be afraid to do so because of this mighty power that the United States had gained at that time. They went to work right away to try to keep others from getting it, but I understand there's at least 9 nations now that have it, and maybe more, because here North Korea has it, and of course it's they're a very small nation, but they could involve with their allies. They do have a few allies, and they could start involving that, which could quickly turn into this all-out burning that will take place at the end of Genesis 49, verse 10 and 11. Now, that's you. That's you. That's us. That's Yahshua and the donkeys, the teams of donkeys. The ones he laid the foundation with in Jerusalem, then the second donkey that he was also riding with them, with that in that show of prophecy there, the second group of donkeys that would, whose time at the end of this great destruction now, then your time will come when the obedience of the nations is given to you. That's the prophecy in, of course, Genesis 49:10. Genesis 10, where you get Babylon, which was named confusion to begin with. I mean, that's a great way to name it. And then the Moshe being given the information in Leviticus 18 that shows the confusion when you perform these acts. You develop confusion in your minds to where you would probably kill a baby or other things. They had some news. I don't know if we showed this or not, but the man and woman in California, they had several children. They had them chained to their beds and different things in the news this week. I caught some lies in some of it. They said the children didn't know what a policeman was, but yet one of them broke loose and called 911. didn't know what they were, but they called 911. I guess it's an accident or something, maybe. But I think it's full of lies, but I'm thinking it's going to be used probably against anyone who tries to read the scriptures. You know, they have to do this ever so often to plant it, to keep this evil planted in the people's minds, that if you stick with the scriptures, you won't have any fun. You'll be chained to a bed. You'll be treated like dogs, worse than dogs, and you'll probably wind up killing yourself. Well, that's what the Catholic Church, the Vatican, that's been their plans to do all along, from one generation to another, to try to create this. In my generation, it's occurred 4 times now, and bring the people to hate those who want to read the scriptures and have you afraid to read the scriptures, afraid to follow the scriptures. And if your neighbor finds out you're reading the scriptures, they're going to turn against you and avoid you. They'll exclude you from all their parties, which would be a real blessing, by the way. But I certainly wouldn't want to be in their council. But here now is the confusion at the end of it, of the end of Satan's confusion, of the deception on the whole world, and the fall that we see. It's not shown here when. Revelation shows you when and by how, by what activities it will fall, by the nuclear burning that will actually darken the sun. And then Matthew 24, Yeshua showed it would be, that was the generation when all of this is going to take place, including you fulfilling Genesis 49:10-11. You, the house of Yahweh, the donkeys that bring forth the work to all the nations, and then the obedience of the nations is going to be yours. That's what it's talking about. With Yeshua, our high priest, yes, we'll resurrect those 12 disciples that was with Yeshua, and then the rest of the servants that will help us in that field, the ones who followed righteousness and qualified. But now here, with all of that in mind, you see, Satan is fallen. Is fallen. And look at verse 29. Do not rejoice, all of you in Philistia. I don't know if I had David bring this or not, but he needs to if he hasn't. And maybe next week. But these names are not correct, and each one of them have a meaning, and that really, you're going to be so surprised when you see this. Because the rod of him that struck you has broken, for out of the serpent's root will come forth the adder, and his offspring. So see, this is speaking of a future generation here, of her falling, shown back over here in verse 12. But the offspring and the fiery, fiery flying serpent. and I thought it was so neat that President Trump actually named his book that. I don't know if he knew he was fulfilling prophecy, but it's going to be in this generation. And of course, he's the president right now of this great United States, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. He's the president. He's seeing and exposing. He's exposing a lot of things that's going to bring him a lot of enemies, of course. Now, when I see things like this, I think what we've gone through, and I think, will they be strong enough now to stand up under this? I don't know if you saw it, but Billy Graham's son here a while back was condemning some of it, and his popularity went down rather quickly. and I haven't heard him back that up. So I don't know if he gave in. Most people do. Most people don't have guts enough for it, but that's what I call it. That's an old Okie term. You know, if you didn't take the bull by the horns, you know, you're just gutless. Sometimes they'll take it by the horns and they get criticized and they'll drop it. Armstrong did. Herbert W. Armstrong. Jacob and I taught that whole church the name Yahweh. And we had people like Rod Meredith, who was one of their leading elders, Herman L. Hay. They were all in full agreement. Armstrong finally agreed and brought some sermons on it. His tithe dropped in half. He dropped the sermons, pulled them off the air. I didn't know that for a few years, and another elder that came here is visiting with us at my home, three of them, Homestead, and they told me why he dropped it. but anyway, if President Trump, if he holds true and comes through with this, you know, and in trying to straighten this out, He's already gaining big-time enemies. They control the news media. The fake news that comes out is extreme. He's already brought it out that they're a bunch of liars and crooks. He's brought out that the pharmaceuticals, the politicians, are there anywhere in the United States that you could actually trust? Herbert W. Armstrong said there was not. And I believed it, and I believe it today. There's no one in the world that could run this world. There's no one that has that kind of power and ability. The only ones that this is going to be turned over to, and they'll be successful, is you. You're the first ones that's going to receive that power. It's all up here, the subconscious mind. And it's recording everything. Even if you don't know it's recording it, it's there. And if you practice righteousness, one day you're going to be given that very soon. And then you'll be surprised how smart you are and what ability you will have and how well the microorganisms will no longer cry out against you and cause floods. They will work with you and cause joy everlasting. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next leader. I love you!